Business Brain, episode 562 for Casual Friday, June 28th, National Food Truck Day, 2024. Greetings, folks, and welcome to Business Brain, the show where we take an idea or four and analyze it. We identify it. We poke holes at it. We look at it. We spin it around. We use it to tune our business brains every single time we get together. Our sponsor for this episode is fastmail.com/businessbrain. That's where you can go to try it free for 30 days, and then you save 10% off your first year. We'll talk more in depth about Fastmail, which is my favorite email provider that I've been using for 5 years, in a little bit. For now, here in Durham, New Hampshire, I'm Dave Hamilton.
And out here in Northern California, I'm Shannon Jean. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's food truck day, so I was reminded of a thing that's sort of been happening in our town. We have this new food truck pod. It's a brew pub.
A brewery or tap house?
Oh, okay. It's a tap house and food truck pod. There's like eight, 6 to 10 food trucks there all the time. It's really fascinating, and it's been fantastic. It's become like the meeting place in town, and it's great. They are doing fine. This is not about them, what I'm about to talk about here. But it reminded me of them because we all know that bad reviews on social media are undesirable. Right?
They are.
I mean, you know, and
very much so.
We've talked about it. We've done episodes on it. There's different ways to handle them, all of that. But one thing that I would think would be an odd choice to make would be essentially to create your own bad reviews.
I would agree with that statement.
There is another restaurateur in town who, I don't know if they realize this, but that is exactly what they are doing. They are constantly complaining about how not enough people go to their restaurant, how other restaurants are taking their business away, and you know, you need, and then shaming people for, well, you need to eat local. You should stay in our town and eat. And, you know, their restaurant is downtown. This food truck thing is like just on the outskirts of downtown. They're like, that place is taking away business. It's like, no, I had stopped going to your place before that other food truck place was even like an idea that I knew about.
But even if you feel that way, posting it or on social media, not the best thing.
Just don't. And it's I've tried to, I know the people that I know, this restaurateur, our kids, you know, kind of grew up together ish. And I've tried having this conversation with them, and they don't hear it. Everything is, it's that, it's, you know, it, there's a boogeyman, right? And it's like, you're your own boogeyman.
And that's the kind of thing you have a conversation like in a peer group. Like if you're at the Chamber of Commerce or you have a other group of business people and you're frustrated, certainly you share those frustrations. Like, they're taking all my business.
Of course.
And then you listen when they say, hey, dude, actually, I would make these changes to try to get some of that business back or something, you know. But collaborating with other people in your industry can really help be a resource for you, right? But you do have to. We all have those kind of complaints. It's just there's no getting around it. But doing it publicly, it's also the same as responding to a negative review online, and you're calling somebody out or doing, you know, that doesn't work.
Be careful.
It actually does the opposite. Yeah, you want to be very positive, talk about how much you value people, this kind of thing. But
I'm sorry you had that experience. Please let us make it up to you. Right.
Of course, here's the changes that we've done to implement. Yep. Even if it made you angry and you think the customer's nuts or whatever, that's normal. That's just normal.
Just don't say it.
Yeah.
And they did. Like in this, they called out.
Group.
Right. But in this post, the most recent one, and this is like very typical, it was like, you know, you can, whenever we have a bad review, it's always made up to those people, but they never come back and post more. And the people that have great experiences at our place never post anything good. And it's like,
That's the wrong look. That's the yeah. So what do you do to encourage positive reviews? You know, that
give people had, a $5 coupon, whatever.
You got it. Yeah. You got it. Please come back, you know, show us and incentivize them, offer discounts, you know, people
Don't you be get your own boogeyman.
Yes. No. You need a safe space.
Yes, yes. Vent all right? you need to, but not to your potential customers.
Yeah, and I would say don't do it around your employees either, because that impacts the way they look at your customers, which in turn impacts the way they interact, the way they treat them, the service that they offer. You want to hold your customers in high regard. It's not that the customer's always right. No, not saying that. But in general, a positive viewpoint of the people that are paying your bills, that's the way to go.
All right, folks, you ever wonder how I managed to juggle work, personal life, and still find time to train my army of ninja cats? Well, it's all thanks to our sponsor, Fastmail. Yes, Fastmail is my secret weapon for a charmed email life. I've been using Fastmail for over 5 years now, and it's like having a personal assistant that doesn't steal my snacks. Here's why. Fastmail is an independent, employee-owned email provider that's been around for over 20 years. No ads, no creepy data sharing, just a premium inbox experience with features that actually value my time. And they'll do this for you too, of course. For as little as $5 a month, you get a private inbox with Fastmail. Got a partner? Great. Their duo plan has you covered. Need to manage the whole family's emails? The family plan handles up to 6 people. And for your business, Fastmail offers powerful admin controls too. With Fastmail, you can customize your workflow with colors, custom swipes, night mode, and more. They've got productivity features like scheduled send, snooze, and a super efficient search bar. Plus, you can now buy a domain directly through Fastmail, and they'll set it up for you. Fastmail's human support team is available 24/7. And if you're switching to Fastmail, it's a breeze. Just download your data and import it. They have all the tools for you to do this. No stress, no hassle. So if you want to make email work for you and maybe even find time to train your army of ninja cats, head over to fastmail.com/businessbrain. This is where you can make email better for you with Fastmail. Try Fastmail free for 30 days and get 10% off your first year at fastmail.com/businessbrain. And our thanks to Fastmail for sponsoring this episode. All right, Shannon, you were talking to me about,
I need some business therapy, Dave.
All right.
So, okay. So I have my coaching business and I'm talking to more and more people. And one of the things that comes up all the time is risk tolerance. How much risk should I take? How much risk? And the way it usually comes up is, oh, I've read all your stuff or read a bunch of your stuff, and it seems like you take risks all the time. And it kind of set me back a bit because I feel responsible, you know, for obviously for the advice I give these clients. So I want to have a discussion and talk about, like, what are acceptable? And maybe I don't know that we can narrow it down because maybe it's different for everybody, but I would love to have like a grading scale of acceptable risks based on a couple things. It's not just age. It's also the cycle of your life that you're in.
Yeah.
Right.
I would say it's more the cycle of your life than your age. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I have taken a lot of risk, but at some point I stopped taking wipeout risk. Right. So that's like the high. Let's start there.
Okay.
That's the highest level of risk, meaning that if you do some deal and that deal went sideways, you're done. The only way out is to like declare bankruptcy or something like that, which sounds horrific to me.
Yeah. I know people who have done that and wildly succeeded, by the way, because they learned that what they thought was wipeout risk is not. I equate that, and this has been true for me with every amount of risk that I've taken, but I'm going to talk about it on the pain scale. You know, you have that 1 to 10 pain scale.
Yeah.
I used to fill out things like 8s or 9s or whatever, because, you know, you think you know where 10 is. And then, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I fell on the ice. Long story short, a doctor that was treating me actually wound up hurting me more than they were treating me and bruised my diaphragm.
Ooh.
Shannon.
That sounds bad.
I had to cough, like just sitting on my couch. I had to cough or sneeze. I think it was cough. And I knew that my body was either going to pass out or I was going to vomit. And I wasn't going to get a choice in this, but this is what was going to happen to me when I coughed because of how much this hurt. It turns out, it's fine. Terrible. It turns out neither of those things happened. I made it through. And what that told me in that moment, my pain scale completely reoriented. I still don't know where 10 is. I also know that anything that I had put in the past as a like 7, 8, or 9 was also incorrect. Those were all 4s.
That's a good point.
And now I even treat pain differently. Like that moment changed my brain. And the same thing has happened with risk. Yep. Is
I would
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I would agree. No, I mean, I made a $1 million mistake. I've talked about it here on the show a bunch of times, and I've learned a ton. At the time when I was going through it, I didn't know how I was going to recover from it, but I was determined to recover. So I understand that concept, and it's like this scale of 1 to 10 is the same with risk, right?
And that's what I'm saying, and I think you need to recalibrate it regularly.
Okay, so. I like that. I mean, if it happens, something happens, you're going to, you'll figure it out. You're going to get through it, right?
Yep.
Because I would argue that, and my good friend who was my attorney at the time, he had always told me, I had a lot of success early on, and he said, hey, just watch out because I don't know a single wealthy person that has not lost it and made some big, big mistake. And I would agree. And I've been there. But what do you tell somebody that's like, and this is how I've handled it. I always push back and say, your risk tolerance, I can't tell you what that is, right? Because I don't know your specific situation. But if we have a person that's like, let's say in their early 30s and they have a young family, and they've left their corporate job and they've got some money and they've invested it to either start a business or they want to buy a business. Like I had a client that, you know, was leaning in hard to buy this business that I thought was horrible and wasn't worth half of what they were going to pay for it. And I was like, you know, maybe this discussion is more about your responsibility as an advisor than you're teaching someone's risk tolerance, because I don't know how to separate out when they're asking my advice, even though I'm telling them that's nuts. But what if I'm telling them, hey, it looks pretty good. Da, 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 da. We've looked at the numbers. You're responsible. You're interjecting.
At some level. Yes.
At some level, you're bringing risk into their life. Right?
Yes.
If you're advising them.
You're supporting a decision.
Yes.
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 That's right.
So,
yep.
What I'm going to develop this. I'm going to have a test that I can give someone that says, answer these questions. And you've seen it before.
Yeah,
and this kind of risk tolerance. You're answering these questions. This is going to tell me what your risk tolerance is. And based on that, if your risk tolerance is a 5, let's say, and you bring a deal to me and you want me to analyze it for you, I'm going to base it based on this risk tolerance. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't do it.
Right.
But you don't have a risk tolerance of 8. You've got a 5.
Yeah.
This is not a 5. This deal is not a 5.
Oh, and I don't like know. This.
Maybe that's. Maybe now,
you're
that's
you're
the way
figuring
to do it.
What you're doing to mix all these metaphors here is you're figuring out where their 10, if it's 1 to 10 scale, you're figuring out where 10 currently is. Their 10
for them
as it relates to your scale, right?
Because that way, my scale's crazy.
Your scale's different.
Well,
I guarantee you, we both know people who would look at your scale and say, okay, this guy's 10 is a 6 for me.
Those are rookie numbers.
Or 3. Yeah, exactly.
that's right.
But and that's okay, right? But now at least you framed it. And I think if I were in your shoes as the coach, I would tell them where their risk where their 10 is versus your 10. And make it clear that your 10 is not some billionaire's 10 or whatever, you know, whatever, right?
Correct.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, I
but at least it lets you
them,
make decisions.
Yes. I'm talking to Sue, which is great. And this is just what business therapy is, because good therapists say, well, what do you think about that?
What do you think?
How do you feel about that?
Exactly.
That's right. And then you pay them. But so if I develop this, you know, whatever, 10 questions or 5 question thing that basically, I'm sure I could have AI help me do this.
Yeah, I assume you will.
Yes. Answer these questions, and we're going to come up with your what's your risk? What's the scale that you use?
Yep.
What's risky according to you? Then I can use that as a gauge when they're asking me to advise them on specific scenarios. Does that
and
make sense?
It does. And I would say
it's cool.
as the coach here, give them the test again every year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because things are going to change.
Ongoing.
I have had
as you build confidence.
Yes. Just right? like
your
with my
risk,
just like with my pain, where at my scale recalibrated, I remember a moment where my risk scale recalibrated. We needed, and I know I've told this story to you before, and I'm pretty sure it's been here on this show. We joined ComScore. So this is my ComScore gamble, and it failed.
Yeah.
It absolutely failed. ComScore, at the time, we weren't doing podcasts. We were only doing web ads, or we were doing some podcasts. But the majority of our business was you know, display ads on the web. And ComScore was like, well, all the big buyers use us as their, you know, their clearinghouse. They're like Nielsen, but for web ads,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
And so
all right.
if you're not listed with us, there's people that won't even talk to you. I was like, crap.
Got it.
And they're like, I was like, okay, well, how do I get registered with you? Blah, 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 blah. Wouldn't you want me registered with you anyway so that you can sell this data to them? They're like, yes, we do want you registered. It costs $35,000 a year to do this. And you pay it all up front.
Yeah,
right.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, crap. And I was like, fine, let's do it. And so I committed I looked at it and I was like, you know, at the time that was like, a base salary for a salesperson. Of course, salespeople, most of their income comes from commissions.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, so I'm giving up the base. I framed it in a way that made sense to me. I know what costs $35,000. It's the base salary of a salesperson. Okay, great. Okay, is this smart for the business to pay for that versus paying a base salary of another salesperson? Is this going to pay off for us? I did all the, you know, I pros and cons. I swatted it, right? And, and I decided, yes, I decided wrong. It for our business, it did not pay off. But we survived. Like that was
you wouldn't,
that,
yeah. Yes.
I needed to know. This is something we'd been hemming and hawing on for years, and I needed to know. And there were two really interesting things that came out of that. The first was that night, my kids were in like elementary school. And I was having that moment that a lot of parents have about how the F are we gonna pay for college? And that night I realized we're going to figure it out. Just like I'm going to figure out how to pay for this ComScore thing, I'm going to figure out college. And I did not worry about college from that day forward. And
good
my kids
you.
Are now finished with college.
Yeah,
mostly,
it's awesome.
Let's say.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that was the day. And I didn't make that decision in order to free my mind of this college concern, but it worked.
No.
You know. And the other thing that I learned, and it was a thing that I know I've said on this show before because I'm a big Rush fan and I like to quote Rush songs, was what I call the complacency risk, which is also the free will risk because it quotes Rush's song Free Will, which is if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Meaning for those 2 years prior that I had not chosen ComScore, it wasn't that I had deferred the decision. It was that I had chosen not to do it.
That was the inaction.
Inaction
right?
is the action.
Yeah.
Correct. So beware of the complacency risk, too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Well, that's good. I appreciate everyone listening to me and you talking through it, because now I think I have a sense of how to present this in an authentic way. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yes.
Right? I'm always focused like, hey, I want to add value and I don't want to tell you to do something. I want to give you the information and you can decide based on certain guardrails, if you will, when it comes to risk. And so I think if I can work on this and develop this short you know, poll or survey, if they, if you will, where they can answer these questions, then I can give it back to them and say, right now, to me, it looks like to me you have a risk, you know, you're on the risk scale an 8. Yep. So maybe, and then we could look at actions that you take and deals that you buy and risks, because all of it comes with risk, whether you're hiring new people, paying ComScore to $35. Every day,
$35,000,
not $35. It wouldn't have been a big, very big risk at $35. No. But yeah, all of it comes with risk, and so assessing and understanding your risk tolerance is really important. Because
and I think you as the coach will, by using this framework, you'll be able to be not just authentic, but fully transparent. You won't be telling people what you would do if you were in their shoes.
Correct. That's what I'm trying to get away from.
You'd be telling people, you are in your shoes, and here's what we have defined. Here's what we know about your shoes. Yeah. And therefore, someone in your shoes would A, not choose, or B, choose to make this decision.
And I think I'll assign actual alter egos to each of the levels. Yes, like maybe level 10 is a pirate and say, well, dude, you're a pirate. You can
do whatever you want. I love that.
And level 1 will be something, you know, maybe it's an Amish person or something. Whatever. I have nothing against Amish people.
But you got to, I have nothing against pirates. Maybe, it's fine.
Yeah. Some sort of scale.
Actually, I guess I do.
Well, you know, pirates, people. But anyway, so that's great. I would love your feedback. Feedback at businessbrain.show. If you want to give me some advice that will help make my advisory business better, I'd love to hear it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Like he said, feedback at businessbrain.show. Make sure you check out fastmail.com/businessbrain. Thanks for listening, folks. Share the show with a friend. We'll see you next week. Keep living that charmed life.